You're listening to the SRA podcast here live from Leeds Festival 2017. My name is Steph Chungu, joining with Tom and Jack. It is day two here at Leeds, and last night was pretty much special. First off, can we just all make a point that no one was ready for those two secret sets yesterday here at Leeds? I did not expect Don Broker and Queens of the Stone Age to make a tiny secret set be as big as everyone expected. Unfortunately, I wasn't there. No, I arrived too late, and when I realised Queens of the Stone Age were on, I was literally sulking all day. But they definitely brought 100% to their sets, and everyone has been telling me how class it was. So yeah, I am so sulking right now. Friday's headliner Muse brought it like 10 out of 10, as well as Liam Gallagher. I actually left a bit early for Liam Gallagher to see Muramasa for a bit, which is absolutely amazing. Then I headed to see Haim straight after Muse for their full set, and it was absolutely just stunning watching those three ladies literally like take the Enemy stage. If you have not heard their latest album, I mean, it's been out for a month. What have you been doing? Listen to it now. Highlights for me yesterday, of course, Muramasa, literally his whole debut album is literally like my soundtrack of the summer. SJ Lewis literally brought it down at the Enemy stage as well. I absolutely loved that. I saw They and Vince Staples for the first time at the One Extra stage. I've been following They for a while, since the beginning of this year, and listening to their new album has literally got me so excited for the set, and it literally brought it all. And of course, the special guest that was Vince Staples, his new album Big Fish Theory is absolutely stunning, and he literally just performed tracks from Big Fish Theory from his previous albums, and of course a few collabs that he's done as well, so that was pretty much class. But I never thought I would say this, but Charlie XCX could be like my all-time favourite artist I've seen at Leeds Festival. I was not expecting to see Charlie XCX last night, but she was there at the dance stage. Let me just say, it was so much pink, it was so much like dancing, and I thought like my voice would never return. But we're here now, and basically if you've never seen Charlie XCX live before, you need to. It's the one thing you need to do in your life. So we're at day two now, it's Saturday. It's just starting to kick off. At the main stage. Of course, the headliners today are Kasabian, the performing at 9:30. Marika Hackman is playing very soon at 12:50. She's at the Enemy Radio 1 stage. The Amazons, which everyone's really excited to go for, is performing at the Festival Republic stage, close to 10 to 2. Of course, the Magic Gang are on at the same time, so kind of not deciding which one I want to go to yet. I'm literally going to have to flip a coin for that one. Marilyn Knox, I'm really excited to see them. They're heading the main stage at 2 p.m. Of course, Rat Boy is going to be taking them after at 5 to 3, and of course a bit of Declan McKenna as well on the Enemy Radio 1 stage at 20 past 3. Now, I'm not just seeing all the bands and all the rappers and all the artists I want to see at Leeds, I'm also speaking to some of them. I spoke to Lab Fontaines yesterday, I spoke to 10 Tons, spoke to Tom Grennan, lovely lads, and I'm just asking random questions, and literally all the questions I just want to ask curiously, and they seem to have taken it well. But today I'm speaking to Anthony and Josephine, aka O Wonder, and they're on at the Enemy stage around 4:15, but I'm hoping to grab them a little bit earlier. So it's day two of Leeds Festival, and joining me now is Anthony and Josephine from O Wonder. Hi guys.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're fabulous. Really excited to be in Leeds.
Yes, because you guys performed at Reading yesterday, and you're performing at 4:15 on the Enemy Radio 1 stage. First of all, how was Reading?
Unbelievable.
It was really good. Yeah, which has set our sights high for Leeds today.
It was actually, so Anthony's been to Reading like every year. I've never been to Reading, so this was my first Reading and Leeds Festival ever. Never thought I'd be playing it as the first time I've come here, so yeah, it was wicked yesterday.
Yeah. First time performing at Reading and Leeds. It's my first time camping at Leeds Festival. So
it's, how's that been going?
Well, the mud's fine, the toilets are questionable, but I'm surviving.
Good, you're still here. It's
still
fine.
Here. Any tips for camping? I mean, it's day two, but so far I'm doing okay.
I remember Reading on Sundays gets a bit crazy and people set fire to tents and stuff, so be safe. Watch out.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, it's quite scary. I remember it feeling like Mordor or something. Yeah.
Okay, now that's actually just made me scared for life. And you performed tracks from your latest album, Ultra Life. How did the Reading crowd take it?
Oh, yeah, really well. We've got brand new lights, which is really exciting. So it's the first time that we've premiered them,
photos on your Facebook, it looks absolutely so lovely down there, and I saw the lights as well, so like I am so excited for this set now. You guys are performing at 4:15 as well. Of course you're performing tracks from your album. Are we going to hear something new?
We're playing songs from Ultralife, so both our albums.
Yeah.
We haven't had time to write any more songs. So we're playing songs from both albums. Probably half and half.
Yeah.
Okay, no covers, that's fine. We'll take both. Now, you guys actually met through a mutual friend, and since then it's just become like this blossoming musical like friendship, which I'm particularly jealous of. And then since then, you guys have just like literally gone from strength to strength. Like, now it's just you're here at Leeds. What I want to know is one of your tracks at Ultralife, High in Humans, is inspired by people on the tube in London. How did that come about for writing that?
So I was on my way back from the airport on the tube and saw these two girls sitting opposite me chatting about food, like they were talking about hot sauce, and one of them was like, oh no, I hate hot sauce, and I kind of leaned in and I was like, what do you mean you hate hot sauce? Everyone loves hot sauce. And then we just started this amazing conversation for 20 minutes about food. It was just really simple and sweet. And I got home and I called Anthony. I was like, dude, I'm like high on humans. And he was like, you're such a weirdo. And I was like, we've got to write a song. And the next day we wrote a song called High on Humans.
And since then, it's just been literally taking strum. Of course, with Ultralife, that's one of my favourite tracks from the album. Every time someone plays it, I'm literally just like up and down, sitting on the chair going, this is the greatest song ever. Like, you don't need anything. Besides from the fact you're here at Leeds, you were at Reading. Are you planning on seeing someone else maybe after your set? Maybe like sneaking off somewhere?
Yes, we're going to watch Bastille one later. So we've got a couple of friends that play with them, so that'll be exciting. Glass Animal was very excited for. Really sad that we're not going to see Eminem. That was like, because he's playing on the other day,
CD. We'll just put Stan on in the car.
Yeah, put Stan on the way home and just sing and pretend that we were at Reading and Leeds watching it. Yeah.
It's like, you're just right there. It's just like, you weren't there, but you were there. You just weren't there. He just wasn't ready to see you guys, basically. That's it. Besides, this is getting nearer of your festival circuit. You're about to go on your big tour. First of all, congratulations. Second of all, which date are you really most excited for?
So we're touring, Canada and America when we start. And I'm really excited to play in Toronto.
Oh, yeah. We're doing 3 nights in one venue, which is insane. Like, we put one night on sale and it sold out instantly. We were like, wait, what?
And
we
tried it again and sold out again.
And it sold out again, and then we've done it again and it sold out again. So we're doing 3 sold out nights in one of our favourite venues, which is just going to be nuts.
So I'm Tom from the SRA. I'm here with the Amazons. How are you guys today?
We're doing really well. How are you doing, Chris?
Really well.
Really well.
I caught your set earlier today. It was fantastic.
Thank you.
How do you feel like it went?
We're Reading boys. So Reading means a lot to us. And it went really well yesterday. And we were always really, like, not worried. It was just like, how is Leeds going to go? And is anyone going to come? And all this kind of stuff. But they're on par, man. They're honestly on par. And we love the Leeds site. And the people are really warm and welcoming, and it was a kind of nuts set. It was almost Bedlam-esque, so we really enjoyed it, man. It was great,
and the weather's been perfect for it as well.
The weather's been great. A spot of rain this morning, but that's never hurt anyone, really, has it? Especially if you've gone to a festival in the summer, like, it's nothing, mate, nothing.
So genuinely, with you guys being Reading guys, or a band based in Reading, do you worry about people not turning up here? You think there's a bit of a stigma attached to it at all? Or?
I don't know, mate. It's not, you don't know what to expect, really. I mean, we played as the Amazons in 2015 on the BBC Introduction stage, and we, like, it was like 10 people there. Honestly, like, that's no fault of anyone. It was just like, no one knew who we were 2 years ago. So we were just apprehensive, man. You never know.
That climb must feel astronomical, thinking that in 2015 you guys were BBC Introducing, and now you're just going stages and stages and stages.
But this is it, like, we live every single day, man. We've spent months in a van when you tally up all the hours and stuff. So it's never felt like an overnight thing. It's never felt like a quick thing. It's always felt like a natural progression. Do you think, Chris?
Yeah.
So 2017, big year for you. You released your self-titled album.
Yes, sir.
How was it received? Are we happy with it?
Yeah, man. I mean, top 10, man. You can't really argue with that. It felt really special, like, especially with an album that we put a lot of hard work in, and we spent, you know, 4 or 5 years of our formative years kind of writing, and everyone involved with it, from our management to our label at Fiction Records to Catherine Marks, the producer. It was kind of a labor of love. Like, when we recorded it last year in April, you know, we weren't hot, we weren't cool, like, no one was talking about us or anything like that. We were very much under the radar, so it was like there was no incentive other than people liking the music and being a labor of love and people putting work into it. You know, signing bands isn't as commonplace as it was in the 90s, because, you know, we're not all making loads of money, and you make a lot more money signing a producer, getting some pop singer to feature on it, and then making loads of money like touring it and all this kind of stuff. That's an easy thing. But our Fiction, our label, loved the music. Catherine loved the music, and it was a pleasure to work with her. And so it just felt like a real victory when it charted as high as it did.
Do you agree with that, Chris?
Yeah, it was a victory, like, not just for us, but everyone who was involved. Yeah, it's a real payoff after all that work.
It must be a real long process writing an album like that. It just must take.
It is.
How long would you say it took you?
Well, like, a song like Stay With Me is, like, wrote when I was 18. Oh. In a previous band when we were in Reading, when me and Chris were in a band in Reading, and it was a song that we almost kind of grew into. And it felt right to release it as an Amazon song, where we kind of revisited it and stuff. And now for the second album, we've got half the time, if that. We've got half the time, and we're on tour most of the time. So it's kind of like, be really interesting to see how it goes.
You guys have been built from kind of like a very natural way, progressing up the stages, the likes of Reading and Leeds and things like that. Is there anyone that you spot at Leeds or Reading where you're like, those guys are going to make it, they're going to follow in our footsteps?
We like Declan McKenna. He's a little genius. It's really annoying. He's like 18 and he's doing everything we've ever wanted to do when we were 18 and stuff. I think the Pale White,
they played
the BBC Introducing Stage. We've taken them out on tour in October. They're just really dark, really sexy, proper rock and roll, man. I love them, man. We've been impressed when we've seen Laurel Kana around.
He's a very talented guy, isn't he?
Very talented guy. Very humble dude. That's a proper labour of love as well, man. It's a passion project. It's the same as us, man.
Other kid as well. There's some friends from Ireland.
You hear
Ireland.
A lot of chat about them at the moment.
Yeah, man. They're just a proper kind of like 2017 like punk band, man. They're like kind of like the Hives a little bit, but like a bit darker, a bit sexier than Hives. I don't know, man. They're fucking cool.
Right. Final question, leaving on a big one, is obviously Conor McGregor, Mayweather fight tonight.
Yeah, no, right. It's not tonight, mate. It's tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Are you really staying up?
No.
No?
So, actually, we might be up anyway because we're doing Sunday brunch tomorrow morning in London. And we're on with Shane from Westlife. And we're doing about 2 minutes and 30 seconds of Ultraviolet, our new single. Hanging out with Tim Lovejoy and all sorts of stuff.
Food, maybe chopping up some veggies. Who knows?
It's going to be great.
Bit of veggies, chopping up some onions.
You know you've made it when you're chopping up veggies on
Yeah, with
television.
Tim Lovejoy. Exactly. I think...
We'll quit after that.
Yeah, we might see the fight. I'll probably rewatch it on YouTube because I don't think it's going to be very long.
No. Who do you think is going to win, though?
Everyone on the planet probably wants McGregor to win because it's so outrageous. But it's probably Mayweather, I think. But you know what? McGregor's already won. The guy has already won. He's done amazing in another sport, and he's just trash-talked his way into a fight with one of the greatest boxers of all time. He's
won. If he loses, he's won.
He's won.
Just money alone.
Mate, because like when he wins an MMA match, UFC, it's like 20 million or something. The guy's minimum 80 million. He's won.
It's like if you ask someone, like, would you take a punch for 8 million?
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Same question.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Sligo Rovers, that's for a FIFA reference, playing Barcelona just because they went, yeah, we'll give them a game. And then Barcelona's gone way down. Floyd Mayweather has gone right down. He's only doing it for the money. If there was no money in it, he would never play someone, he'd never fight someone who's never had a professional boxing match in his life against the world's best boxer. It's ridiculous. The whole thing's ridiculous, mate. It's incredible. I cannot wait to see it.
I can't wait to see it either. Thank you so much for your time, guys. It's been a real pleasure.
Yeah, nice one, man. Thanks very much, dude.
Yamatons, thank you very much.
I'm at Leeds Festival, and today I've got Joe and Bowen from Idols. How are you doing, guys?
Good, thank you very
good,
much.
Thank you.
Good, good. Now, to start with, tell us in sort of 5 words what Idols sound like. In 5 words.
Rambunctious. Heavy. Guitar-y.
Aggressive.
Oh. Oh, last one's a big one.
Fabulous.
Oh, beautiful. Now, I don't want to cause offence. I hope this isn't causing offence, but I listened to you guys last week for the first time, and I thought you were sort of a combination between Slaves and Sleaford Mods.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of comparison. Is that something you've heard before, that kind of comparison to them
bands? Exactly that description before. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so...
So you can't take offence to that. Like,
no, I mean, that's too great.
And it's what you sound like. And Everyone needs a comparative to understand what something is. Yeah. It's how things work. You categorise because... You need to, because that's how...
I think them two, as a mix, forms quite an individual sound, which is what you guys have, definitely. Like, that mix of them two bands, I think, it forms a very individual sound. Is that something you aim towards, or is it just you pulling in your influences and that's what comes out?
I think our sound is us trying to be honest to ourselves about what we're trying to convey. Like, it's like, we're not going, ooh, let's... pull something from Sleaford Mods and pull something from Slaves. Like, I mean, we've been around longer than both those bands. So like,
I think we got heavier as we went along, and we just became less concerned with what we thought we should sound like and what we actually wanted to sound like. But if we were to list the bands that we actually rip off, it would be like The National, Sons, Soons, and like bands like that, like where you get fully inspired by something and then you don't rip them off, but you're like, oh my god, have you heard that? And then you start writing more, you know, more like what you want to be and what you are than what you think you should be. And then it comes out sounding like a cross between Sleaford Mods and Slaves, so you can't argue with that. But like, you know, our influences are a bit more bleak and a bit more interesting, I'd say, than what it seems.
So you're taking influence less from music, would you say? So you're listening to bands, but is it other factors as well that you, because music's quite, as I said, aggressive and to the point. So do you take influence from, say, like the news and things like that more than you would say other bands?
I think it's just about trying to be as earnest or honest as possible. So often it comes out, my lyrics are always about what I think and talk about in real life at the pub. So often it comes out with things political because we talk about politics a lot. But other influences, a lot of the books that we read come into our art, and art comes into our music, and our friends come into our music a lot. I think, you know, it's just how we do it.
Okay, cool. You recently supported Maccabees in London. How was that, and how was it being a part of them kind of farewell shows?
Magic. It was a huge, huge privilege for us to be involved in something like that. It was a massive gamble for them because obviously we sound nothing like them. But I think you can hear that we have a similar approach to life and a similar approach to what we do, and there's a tone to our music that transcends into theirs.
There's a joy
and a lust for life in it, I think. And like, I think in general, it was just like weird, like being there and being a part of it. Like, I would have bought tickets for it anyway. So it's stunning. It's just a really fucking beautiful period.
Does touring with a band like that, do you take things from that and not necessarily put them into your live show, but do you take experience from playing those big venues, and does it change the way you play your shows?
No. We like, you can't overthink your live stuff. You've got to be yourself on stage, otherwise you'll overthink and you'll be an actor.
Yeah.
And what's the point in that?
We're the same in front of three people as we are in front of
7,000. So these big shows, they're no difference. There's no difference in the way, even after doing them shows, you don't feel like you've maybe changed your approach to any way at all.
I mean, in some cases, like, so, like, recently we've been put on much, much bigger stages than we're used to, but we always pack our gear in to the same size stage, basically.
That's brilliant. I love it when I see bands do that. They're on a massive stage and they're like, let's just get it all in nice and close to make it almost like that club kind of feel.
You just don't get the feel. Like, if you're like a good like 15 metres away from another member of the band, you just don't have that kind of like insular we're all working together and locking in with each other feeling. It's just not there if you're miles away.
Yeah, like, I think we'll always just do what we want to do, because that's why it's enjoyable. I think we play for the audience, but what we do is we play first and then the audience react and we work with that. Every show is different. It's just the songs that stay the same.
Yeah, okay, brilliant.
We change the set list, though, to work for different contexts.
So what would you say 2018 holds for you guys as a band?
Second album, more touring, hopefully just more of the same, really. It's just been magic.
Have you had any ideas about where you would want to record the new album or lyrical themes about the new album?
Just the same, what we talk about in the pub. And we are recording, so our producer's penciled somewhere in already in January. So
nice, very nice.
So I'm Tom Hinckley from the SRA. I'm currently here with Louis Berry. How you doing, man?
Good, man. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, my first ever festival. I've loved it. It's been amazing. Yeah. And I have to say, you're up there with like the favourite people I've seen so far.
Thank you.
Caught your performance today. I've seen a couple of acts at the festival, but you really managed to get the crowd going. Like in the Festival Republic tent, I've seen a couple of acts there now. You had the crowd by the balls, really.
Of course, the honour is in the crowd, not in me. You know, they come and they come out every time. You know, regardless of where we are, you know, they turn up and they show up and they do what they've got to do, you know what I mean? And, you know, what I do is a small part compared to what they do. So, you know, all honour and respect to them. Yeah, it's been great.
I really like your kind of point of view on that whole... You said something on stage about going and performing at smaller venues. Yeah. And that really makes sense to me in a way of the fact that it's more intimate, it's more about the music and the people, less about the money. Can you just talk about that a bit? Why the decision for that?
Yeah, I think it's important to... You know, at this stage, you know, I feel like, you know, in the next 6 to 12 months, I think things are going to ramp up very fast. You know, we've got songs we've been holding back that we think are going to be big songs. So, you know, I'm supremely confident in them songs. I think they're going to go down well. So it's important for me to get out there and interact with people who, you know, have been with me from the beginning in as small a venue as possible and give them as much an intimate show as I can before things get to that stage where I can't do so.
Speaking about you sitting on music and things like that, when shall we be expecting album or new releases or anything like that?
Yeah, I think the album's going to be probably January. There's a lot of new songs I'm going to be playing on this next tour, you know. Songs that I've been holding back for the album and things like that. So I'm excited to play them for people and see what the people like.
So I was reading up about you, and you have a very interesting music taste. So I read somewhere that you like anything from Tupac to Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
How did that music taste really influence your music? Because you're like proper rock and roll.
Yeah, I think growing up, you know, I come up different amongst musicians these days, you know. I come up in a place that wasn't good. So I had to listen to real artists because they give me motivation and, you know, encouragement to strive to be the best and continue with life, never mind trying to be successful in what you do. Listening to them artists shaped me massively. Hopefully I can be one of them artists for people who's talking about real things, writing songs about what things have really happened to me. You know, not just trying to make it rhyme or, you know, all that, you know, that fakeness. For me, it's about being real, you know, giving the people what they're paying money for, you know. And as I said, you know, on stage before, for me, it's not about the money. Unfortunately, I'm in a business that wants to make money, but for me, it's just about being real. Singing them songs and seeing them people singing them songs back to me is the best feeling in the world, man. Yeah.
Because you've got real diversity in your kind of, the type of songs that you write. You've got proper rock and roll stuff, you've got emotional things, and yeah, again, you said on stage that you find it's important to have that variety, and you also touched upon the fact that music's kind of different nowadays, and that I wanted to ask you whether you think you're at a forefront of some new artists, because there's people about at the moment that look like they're going to be a bit more than just.
I think music's changing. You know, I think the world's changing. Never mind music. You know, if you look at it politically or just in general, you know, things are changing. People, regardless of what side you're on and what argument you're on, the one thing that unifies all is that people are waiting for some kind of change. I believe personally that there's, you know, that the same thing's happening in music. You know, we've got people, six songwriters sitting in a room writing songs for an artist who they don't even know. You know, for me, that's fake. And I hope that the people in music today who are pushing that stuff forward are going to look back in 20 years' time and feel embarrassed about themselves for being involved in it. Fortunately enough, I've got a good team around me, you know, powerful people, people who can make things happen, you know. And, you know, together with my opinion on things and trying to be as honest as possible, and then people, you know, getting involved, and I think we can change music. Not just me, but them other artists. I've seen them myself, as you said. You know, they're coming up, the you know, they're trying to change things. So it's going to, you know, inevitably, it's going to happen. A change is going to happen. Yeah, and I intend to be part of that change.
Yeah, you can really see that passion, like in your performance today, is the fact that the crowd, like I said, totally on your side, and then they wanted you to carry on playing.
Yeah.
You were staying on stage. You had everyone chanting, hey. And you're like telling them to, like, and everything, yeah. Like that, man, that's just passion.
Yeah, of course, you know, yeah, I don't like people cutting stage time short. You know, they told me I had 5 minutes left for me. 5 minutes is two songs, you know. I get through two songs in 5 minutes. You know, if people are paying hundreds of pounds to watch these festivals, which is scandalous in itself, but, you know, that's another argument. You know, then people are paying money. For me, it's about giving them exactly what they want. People trying to kick me off stage, I'm not moving, man. I'm not moving until then people have got what they pay for. You know, unfortunately, you know, they turned all the sound off and things like that, but, man, it is what it is.
But you definitely gained a whole load of respect from the people and everything like that. Thank you so much for your time, man. I really
thank you
think you're
your
going to be
time.
The next big thing.
Thank you for your time. Thanks, much man. Appreciated. Thank you. Really thank you.
Just finished my interview with Louis Berry. He is currently speaking to Scott Hasty's dad. Scott has set up this whole thing for us being at Leeds, and he's got Louis Berry to call his dad. Here it is.
Thanks, mate. Listen, it means a lot, you know, going where you say you're going into HMV and that, you know, waiting for the album and things. So, you know, it means a lot. I thought it'd be nice to say hello. Yeah, of course you can. I'm a red man, what about you?
Louis Berry's a top lad.
Okay, so we're live at Leeds Festival, and the guys thought they had a brilliant idea of playing at Dodgems, but they're all gonna hit me and Tom. Now, I don't understand how this is fair, because I wasn't aware we had Dodgems, and I wasn't aware that we were going to be competitive right now.
Dodgems, 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 Dodgems.
So you can see right now they're being a little bit competitive. I'm quite scared because Tom's going to drive. I'm not here for that at all.
It's going
to
be fine.
No, you're going to drive. You don't know how to drive. That's the worst thing.
It's going to be great. It's going to be fine.
Right. I'm going to record everything, and hopefully it's just not going to be me screaming, because right now anything is possible.
It probably will be that.
This is actually happening right now.
Keep it really close to your mouth.
Yeah, this is actually happening right now. So just sat in on the Dodgers. I'm petrified. I'm actually petrified. They're all looking at me. I haven't done anything wrong.
You've done everything wrong, trust me.
No,
we're not going to get hit once.
I haven't done anything. I've literally done nothing all this weekend. And now they're just like, hey, let's all hit Steph and Tom with a Dodger.
Well, I mean, what better way to bond as a group?
Oh my God, we're signed off. Okay, we're signed off. Right, so...
I'm just going to avoid everyone.
Okay, right, avoid everyone. Right, so, Tom, who's been your highlight so far?
So far, probably Mew. Mew's been amazing. Then also, Louis Berry, the interview with him was amazing.
You said we were going to get hit!
Go on the offensive.
Yeah, I saw you with Louis Berry, he was really nice.
He was really, really nice.
And also, you had time with the guy from Mallory Knox as well.
Yeah, he was really, again, so lovely. Everyone that I've interviewed this weekend has been the best. We've really avoided them so well so far.
So well!
Yeah.
Are you excited to see tonight?
I'm excited to see Kasabian. I've never seen them before. They're like a classic.
Oh, look.
Told us not to go to the corners and we're stuck in the corners.
You said we weren't going to get out! Oh my... Oh! You said... Like, seriously, you said we weren't going to get hit.
Hey,
you lied.
We did get hit for a long time.
You lied to me!
Yeah. For ages. You can't be disappointed in me, Steph. We did really well until then.
Yeah, we did well today.
You are hating this so much. This ride is
tokens only. We fire the. Oh, I hate you guys so much. Oh, right, so it's day two.
Tomorrow, really excited to see Major Lazer. They'll be really good headlining. Then also, then who else is playing tomorrow? Who's the other headliner?
Eminem. Eminem's headlining tomorrow.
Oh yeah, Eminem's gonna be amazing. I mean, what a legend!
He's gonna
be...
Will you stop?
Are you okay, Steph?
No.
That brings an end to our Dodgem excursion. I think we did pretty well. Steph hates the idea, and he's currently... Steph is currently chasing Scott because this was Scott's idea. Ah, oh, great way to end the Dodgems. I really enjoyed that. What do you think? Yeah.
I mean, it was good. I think my back's gone, but
you know what? I thought you were going to get us more than you actually did in the end.
Yeah. Well, we got lost quite a few times. We went around the wrong way a couple of times.
Unfortunately, I think Steph.
Yeah.
Steph hated every second of it. I think this interview is going to be about 90% Steph screaming.
Excellent. Well, I mean, that's all we were aiming for, really.
So, after the Dodgems, how do you feel? One word.
I swear, I am going to make your lives hell.
So, she loved the whole experience, as did everyone else. That's it for our SRA Dodgem experience.
So, I'm here at Leeds Festival with Andrew, Adam and Jack from Arcane Roots. How are you doing, guys?
Thank you very much.
So, the upcoming records, you've released quite a few singles off already.
Yeah.
And they do display quite a change in sound to previous stuff. How do you think the reception's been?
It's been great. We kind of weren't really sure what to expect. I think we're kind of very purposefully ignored or kind of put to one side anything that we felt like we were expected to do, or anything that would maybe inhibit a decision that we would make. So I think we kind of approached, certainly when Curtains came out, kind of some trepidation as to how it would go down, but everyone's been really lovely about it and definitely been the biggest response we've had to our music so far. And
yeah,
it seems, you know, when we made the choice to take the record in a direction that was just kind of open to all influence and everything we listen to, and kind of make something a lot wider, where we kind of took that gamble, it seems to have, well, hopefully paid off.
I mean, I think it's great. It's absolutely brilliant, and I've seen things like all the sort of synth elements and stuff like that. Is that a big step for you guys to learn all that and learn all the programming? And I've seen bits that you put on Twitter, Andrew, and I've seen you not struggling, but saying how hard it's almost been sometimes.
Yeah, we're still learning, I think.
Yeah, still, it's still kind of learning. Part of a, I think, you know, with the last record, felt very accomplished and comfortable and shiny and big choruses and et cetera, et cetera. And I think, you know, it was more a reevaluation of just what we wanted to be known for, what kind of band we wanted to be, and like my music taste pretty much since that record had become very electronic and classical and sort of a lot of soundtrack music as well. And
I hear a lot of James Blake almost,
yeah,
in bits, like the drum machine parts especially.
Yeah, and we kind of were trying to, you know, take these things as I was kind of getting interested in these things and buying synth after synth and trying to learn the piano and the violin, and just because it was like, well, I want to be able to do that. I want to be in a band where that's a thing and it can add something, a new dimension to what we're doing. And so, but then for all of us, even, you know, with Jack, you know, to welcome him into the band and then kind of try and sort of disassemble his muscle memory.
Well, the drum part sounds mega, like in all of the songs there, especially Everything All at Once. When that came out, I heard that and I was like, "Whoa, is it double bass pedal or is it not?"
It's not. No.
How?
It's one very sore leg.
How does that translate, like playing the new stuff live? How is it kind of? How have you had to change your show to get it fitting in?
Well, I think we certainly made a kind of sort of conscious decision early on that we would kind of embrace this idea that we could play the tracks in ever which way we wanted, and that's something we wanted to do moving forward with the older material. And I really enjoy that idea that, you know, we've always amended parts of songs and changed them and kind of added different parts and what have you, but I really wanted to kind of embrace that idea and the kind of different formats. So when it's come to approaching them live, it's certainly been a challenge, but it's certainly also then something that's actually become a point of excitement for us, you know, to tackle these kind of ambitious arrangements and kind of have to learn things that we had previously, you know, never used. And so for us, sort of musically and kind of instrumentally even, it's been, you know, really fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Keep going with,
yeah. Yeah, great. So tracks like obviously Everything All at Once and featured on Daniel Picata's show, and Off the Floor was Animac's hottest record, which is mega. How does that sort of thing come about, especially like the Animac's hottest record?
I mean, I think for us, we've always been a band that's kind of floated around in the middle. We've been a bit too heavy for poppier DJs, or been too poppy for the heavier ones.
Yeah.
So we were kind of lucky, I think, that where this album is sort of in a strange territory that I think for us, radio was really like the last thing. Like, we had some amazing support from Daniel, but
yeah,
other than that, like it was always kind of a strange position for us. So
I've seen a lot of sort of I think Matter and Off the Floor got a good amount of even daytime.
Yeah, like, absolutely. We've been so surprised that this record that we kind of, you know, intentionally allowed to be left field has actually become quite mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard, obviously when I heard Off the Floor, I was like, I could hear that on radio at any time, which obviously you don't go into the studio thinking, oh, I'm going to write a radio single.
No, that's it. And even some of the songs on the album, we kind of had gone on this long journey of revising these songs and just continually reworking them. And then we kind of, when we finally were happy, we were like, I think we've actually just made them poppier. I think that's...
There is nothing wrong with that.
I think that's... we were just laughing that we were like intentionally like, yes, it's going to be so experimental and left field and kind of, you know, pushing boundaries. And then, like, I think what's cool is that radio is that way. Like, people like FKA Twigs and Banks and Tyler the Creator and all these kind of people who are like doing this really off-center pop, I think it's really refreshing, I think.
Yeah, 100% agreed. So you've supported some big bands in your time now, I think Muse, Biffy, recently Evanescence. What sort of things do you learn from doing them shows?
Yeah, we purely go into homework and steal.
That, I mean, the experience you kind of get from them, does that like change the way you orchestrate your shows?
I'd honestly say we've not... I think every band we've supported, even when we've gone into it, not really with any prior knowledge, as in, or prior fandom particularly of the band, as in we were just aware of them and you know, we'd heard a few songs between us, and then I think you really understand, you know, following any band around, the kind of athleticism that's involved in their performance, you know, and the way you really see what it is that makes them special. And certainly every band we've played with, we've taken a little morsel of information or you know, been like, oh, you know, we need to up our game. You know, it's a good kick in the arse.
It's a good barometer, isn't it? You support these bands, and then you think, oh, wow, they're unbelievable. What do we do to get to that kind
absolutely,
of level? I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So it creates a strong amount of desire as well, which you have to kind of swallow again after that tour, and remember you've got to get back in the van. So
is there still a van?
Still a van.
Oh wow, that's excellent news. So the album is coming out soon. What? And you've got the tour as well. What would you say? Like 2018. What does it hold for Arcane Roots?
Well, I think for the main part, I mean, even doing Reading and Leeds this year, our main attention and focus has kind of been on these headline shows. And when we finished the record, or when we were working on the record, a big part of that was thinking of how they would be presented live and kind of how we're going to present this new live show and really be able to take it forward as a band. So certainly, I mean, it's coming along. I still have much more work to do, but I'm kind of excited to get that live show out and really kind of fly the flag of A, what we've done on this record, but then also like have hopefully a show that kind of is up there with the best. And
brilliant.
Tour that around the globe, hopefully.
Yeah, great, yeah. Hello, I'm with Circa Waves at Leeds Festival. How you doing, guys?
Great, how are you?
I'm excellent. Thanks for asking. The first ones who's asked how I am.
I mean, I think it's important to just be nice to everyone.
Exactly. So I'll start with your new album. It's just come out. It's been out for a while now. I think it's brilliant, and it's quite a good development from your first album. It's nice to see a band who are developing on albums.
That's fine. I mean, we've always grown up with heavier music, and it was something that came naturally to us.
I mean, I hear like a bit of Queens of the Stone Age, like especially in Goodbye. I heard that song, I was like, yeah, this. Have you guys listened to Queens of the Stone Age? Are you into Queens of the Stone Age a lot?
That's it, it's a massive rip off of Queens of the Stone Age.
So I was right with that first. No, but it's a brilliant song, and when I heard it, I was like, yeah. So Queens of the Stone Age, would you say, as a band for the new album, was that a bit of an influence to you guys?
I think definitely, like, certainly Goodbye, yeah. Like, the sexiness of Queens of the Stone Age, I think we tried to sort of channel a little bit. First record wasn't sexy enough, so we had to get our sex on.
Well, yeah, fair enough. So I saw you guys at Glastonbury earlier in the summer, and I thought despite like the difference in sound on the albums, the set list was built really well, like for both albums. Is that something you have to think about a lot?
I think it's more that the old songs, like, they've sort of naturally got a little bit heavier. I think the way that we play them has sort of changed a little bit, and it's the, you know, the guitars we have sound heavier, and so putting them alongside new songs give them a whole new lease of life.
Is that good for you? Yeah. So what's been your favourite moment as a band so far?
Jesus, what a question.
Yeah.
Every time we arrive to it, like a new rider, and there's like...
What's on your rider, actually?
You got your cashew nuts, you got your pistachio, you got your avocados, you got your rum, you got your ginger beer,
Are you mixing the rum and ginger beer, I'm guessing?
Yeah. Not in a glass, just in our mouths.
Just
free pulling it.
Someone holds one bottle, someone holds another bottle, and it's just open out wide. Back to your... So your rider's your favourite moment. Every time you turn out to a gig, you think your rider's the best bit.
I get really excited by, free food and free booze. I've still not got over that.
I mean, we all do, really. So when you've been on stage, or you've seen other bands on stage, what's been, the craziest thing you've seen or you've done yourself?
Remember when we saw, Pete Doherty nearly kill that guy with his guitar?
Yeah.
It's like we toured the Europe with the Libertines early on in our career, and he used to throw the guitars at the end of each set to their guitar techs. But this one time, Pete threw his guitar at a horizontal 80 mile an hour bullet, and hit the guitar tech in the face, didn't it?
Yeah. He wasn't looking.
He wasn't looking. He threw it over his head backwards.
Okay, so almost near death on stage then, we're going
near
with.
Death via Doherty.
Nice. Actually, I saw recently there's a picture of you, Kieran, with Dave Grohl.
Yeah,
you're on first name level now with Dave.
He doesn't know my name, but I know his.
How did that occur, that photo?
We were in Japan and we played the same stadium as them. I say stadium, it's a stadium. And we just blagged our way back. Unfortunately, Dave Grohl's as cool as you would ever imagine.
So is he genuinely the nicest man?
He's the coolest man.
Nicer than the nicest man. Yeah, there's a new category for him.
Did he initiate that then? So that
we made sure we were in the prime position.
I mean, yeah.
For it to be initiated, but he was just come backstage. Do you want a beer? Do you want whiskey? Told us loads of stories. He's amazing.
Nice. So 2018 for Circa Waves, what does it hold for you guys?
I think more world domination. I think we're going to release some of the best music that has been heard
ever.
Absolutely not, no. maybe in January of 2018 will be a great month for Circa Waves. So
is that you saying that January 2018 we might get some new music from Circa Waves? Low-key, unofficially.
Yeah.
Well, not even unofficially.
Yeah,
I was going to say, already? It's just a couple of quick fiery questions now. If you collaborate with any artist, who would it be?
Shania Twain.
Or Sheryl Crow.
Shania Twain for both of you guys?
Yeah.
Any local bands that we should check out at the SRA?
What's John's band called?
Real Terms.
Real Terms, yeah.
Sweet. Favourite album of the year so far?
It's that Big Thief record. That was this year.
Thief's good. I'm also excited by the new Always stuff.
Yeah, that's good. I've heard some bits of that, yeah.
Amazing songwriter.
Favourite track of the year so far?
Fire That Burns.
Beatles or the Rolling Stones?
Beatles.
Led Zeppelin or The Who?
Led Zeppelin.
I quite like the hilarity of The Who, I find.
They're quite over the top, aren't they?
Yeah, I love that Keith Moon just plays drum fills for basically every song. Yeah, it's great.
And then most anticipated album coming out this year?
I'm interested to see what the Foo Fighters have got to do next.
I think, have you heard the latest song? I can't remember what it's called. They bought Run Out and then they bought something else out.
I like Run Out, I don't like the new one, so I'm 50-50 up to now.
Yeah, so I think with every Foo's records, it can always be a bit 50-50 that way.
You never know.
All right, well, sweet, guys. Thanks very much.
Thank you, sir.
I've just made it back into my tent. It is about 10 to 6 in the morning.
What's up, Josh?
I think this is a bridge between day 2 and day 3. Of Leeds Festival. It was a surprise. It wasn't a surprise, actually. It was announced during the week that Leeds were going to showcase the massive fight that is Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor in the alternative stage. So naturally, I was gassed about that, and I literally put my foot down and demanded that we're all going. Getting close to midnight, everyone bailed, except for me and a mate. So we were literally stuck in DJ set until we realised it got really cold. Really cold. I don't think we could have lasted at the alternative tent while I was in a hoodie and he was just in a shirt. So we went back to our campsite and we literally convinced one of our campmates to please showcase the whole fight on his phone, and it was insane. We made it to the last 3 rounds, which obviously by the time you'll know now, Mayweather did a TKO on McGregor and won, so he's 15-0. Still, And I remember, like, literally a few minutes ago, literally just being cocooned in, like, just a pillar of warmth, because it is absolutely freezing outside. It is light. It is, I can see fog. I've never seen fog this close in my entire life. It was all worth it. I was rooting for McGregor, though, which is a bit sad. But, you know, to be fair, he lasted 10 rounds of him pulling through, so you got to give him respect for that. And I still love him, UFC or boxing-wise. And, yeah, maybe, you know, he might do, like, a mixture of both now, because he has experience with, like, you know, the Mayweather as well. And you know what? I thought I was rooting for him, but I just knew deep down in my heart that he might not get it. But, you know, it's a good effort. So, well done to McGregor anyways for lasting 10 rounds with an natural boxer. But congratulations all the same to Mayweather, 50-0. I am going back to bed. Okay, I'm just going to go to bed now.